Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. Now, the song service had a theme going, in case you didn't notice it, because God said his people still don't understand who they are in him. First, when we sang was, "Let my people go," that's God proclaiming to Satan, "Let my people go." Second one was, "Run, devil, run, you've been putting the devil on the run." Third one was, "Party, you're free, now you're going to party, you're going to thank God you're free." Then the next one was, "All my fountains," that means everything that you are comes from God. And then the third one was, "A brand new life," so we no longer are bound by the devil, we are free, we have a brand new life. And then the last one was, "Majesty of Heaven." No, I'm sorry, it wasn't the last one. "Majesty of Heaven," we're just thinking about how wonderful and glorious the Father is. Then the last one was, "Our final destination is home." And God told me, he said, they just don't understand where you're at yet in him. And we have to get this down in our spirit. We have to understand that there's been a theme going all along the day you gave your heart to Jesus, and we have to walk that thing out. Amen? Oh, Father, I surely do thank you this morning for all the people that came out to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, today I'd like to ask you to touch us in a way you've never touched us before. Let us understand, Father God, who we truly are in Christ Jesus. And Father God, let us take our stand against the enemy and never back down again. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As children of God, we have to understand that we carry an anointing. And we have to understand, in order to carry the anointing, we have to walk a certain way. We have to walk in holiness, and we have to walk in righteousness, and we have to believe that God is God first, and we have to walk in love. We have to believe God is God. We have to walk in love. We have to walk in holiness. We have to walk in righteousness. And then the road's clear. You can do whatever the Word of God says you can do. Amen. I'm going to teach on faith to raise the dead this morning. Matthew 9:18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, this is Jesus we're talking about. "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." What made her well? Her faith. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, but when the crowd was put outside, He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Now, that's anointing. We just go into a dead person, take them by the hand, and they rise, all right? I want you to think, hear what you're reading here, and see how come Jesus could do what he did. And the report of this went out into all that land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." See, the blind eyes opened because they believed, because Jesus was greatly anointed. All right. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He cast out demons by the ruler of the demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now let's go to Luke 7. We're going to read a little bit of scripture this morning, all right? Luke 7:11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd in the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented himself to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Excuse me. So why did the people believe? Because a miracle had occurred. All right. John 11:37. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, because he had no faith, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Why did they do that? Because he saw them do another miracle. Acts 9:36. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said to Tabitha, "Arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. See, they believed because of another miracle. Are you listening to what we're saying here? 1 Kings 17:17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the... Now this was Peter that raised this girl, not Jesus, all right? Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Now this was not Jesus, right? This was Elijah, a man like you and I. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, Now by this, by the miracle, I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Then 2 Kings 13:20, then Elijah died, and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood on his feet. Elijah was so full of the glory of God that even when he was dead, his bones still carried the glory. And when somebody touched his dead bones, they came to life. Now, God wants us to walk in the very same miracles. This body of Christ, we all should be walking in the very same miracles that we just read about. We've all been with the Lord enough years. We all know how we're supposed to be walking and living. And we all know that the anointing of God lies deep within inside of us. Matthew 16:16 says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Jesus wanted to know who he was. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God, Jesus gave all authority to Peter. Did he? Isn't that what we just read? Jesus has also given all authority to you and I. And we can walk in that authority just like Peter did. Now, question, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And if you do, if you really do, then Matthew 21 applies to you in Matthew 21:21. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive them. Isn't that what that just said? Now, I just want to... All right, we need to understand that everything you do, every breath you take, every step you take, is because you're headed for the great white throne. I want to stop here and say this. We're reading about miracles, and God is getting ready to put the miracles back. He's getting ready to use his people to walk in the miracles. Now, before it was really easy to walk in the miracles, but now what's happening here, the world is so dark. The world is really dark. You have all these demonic beings floating around everywhere. Because the world is so dark, whether the body of Christ wants to admit it or not, there's some doubt and unbelief within us that makes us believe that we can't do the miracles that God is calling us forth to do. There's something in us that's causing us not to be able to walk in this miracle-working power that God walked in. Now, when I was first called into ministry and I was raising the dead, the first person that was raised from dead 3 times, I spent 30 days in a hospital. I never spoke a word. I just sat by his bed and prayed quietly to myself. Never said anything. And each time he died, God said, you have to, he opened the heavens and let him see me sitting by the bed praying. He said, you have to go back because she's praying and I have to send you back. And he died 3 times in that hospital and God made him come back each time. Now, the second man I prayed for, I went to the mountain and screamed my head off to God. I didn't do anything quietly. I screamed to him, you've got to raise this man up. Well, he raised the man up. But his son called back and said, my daddy said, please quit praying. Because he doesn't want to stay here. He was alive at that time. He wants to be in heaven. So I said, God, whatever you want to do with him, you do. And God took him back to heaven because that's where he wanted to be. So what I'm saying here, the different things we read about how people raise the dead and how miracles happen, you don't do it the same way every time. The Holy Spirit will move upon you and then you react to what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. All right? Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. When we pray and things don't happen, we need to blame the right one. It is not God's fault. It is not the person's fault you are praying for. It is not Satan's fault. Why isn't it Satan's fault? because Satan cannot stop the power of God. Satan is not more powerful than our God. We have to accept the responsibility. We are the doorway that is blocked. We are the logjam. We are the problem. It is not Jesus, and the devil cannot stop the power of God. Are you listening here? There's something in us that's still not where it should be with God, because keeping the miracles from flowing out from us. I'll never forget that one revival we had, and we put on there miracles were going to happen. And the one man said to me, "I'm here because anybody that has guts to put on there that miracles are going to happen, I had to come and see what was going on." Now, some miracles did happen that night. People were come up here and were delivered. But what he was wanting to see was a physical miracle. He wanted to see somebody healed. And he didn't think a deliverance was a miracle. But we know it is. So we have to also adjust our thinking to that kind of thinking. But in other words, when somebody says, "Well, that wasn't a miracle," we have to know in our heart, yes, that was a miracle. And just because somebody, we didn't raise somebody from the dead that night, or somebody that has cancer was not healed that night, the person that got, was two people really, they were, that was a miracle that they got set free. So we have to understand miracles come in many sizes, shapes, and forms. Some are big, some are small, some are in between. There's a whole lot to this miracle thing, but what God is doing is he's been trying to get this church ready to walk in the signs, wonders, and miracles. He's been giving us prophetic words about that, and we still aren't where we should be in order to. Are you walking in total obedience? That's the biggest thing there is. You have to be walking in total obedience to everything God is telling you to do. I mean, everything. Everything. I'm not fasting the way I should. That's why I'm being held back. God said the other night, when you fast the way I'm telling you to fast, then you'll see the signs, wonders, and miracles working through me. So what? See, and I'm being honest with you. So what is it with you that's holding the signs, wonders, and miracles back? Are you really walking in the love walk? Are you forgiving? You know, are you being obedient to everything God's asking you to do? Are you doing just a little tiny sin thinking it's all right? It's not all right to do any kind of sin. You have to be walking in total righteousness and total holiness in order to see miracles happen. Now, see, when God called me into ministry, I just saw miracles all the time. Everywhere I went, there was miracles happening. One time, a young lady was in a really bad wreck. She wrecked her truck, and they told her she'd never walk again. Well, she came into my home, and I didn't even know this, all right? I mean, knew the girl, but I didn't know the circumstances. And I was walking down my hallway, and she happened to come down the hallway the other way. And I just bent down, and I just touched her legs, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And I didn't see the Holy Spirit had me do this. And when I stood up, she started screaming because her legs all popped back into place, and she didn't need her crutches anymore. And I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "I was just in a wreck. And God told me, the doctor told me I'd never walk again. But because I was walking where I should be walking with God, and I walked by her, and God wanted to perform a miracle in her, he just had me stop and just touch her legs and just thank him." And she was healed. So we need to be honest with ourselves. Why is the miracles not working through us? What am I doing that's still holding up God's anointing? All right? All right, Matthew 18:1 says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greater in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" I taught that before, and you're going to have to go to God with childlike faith. I don't care what it is you're praying about or doing, it has to be childlike faith, believing that God can do all things. Little children trust you, do they not? They think you can perform a miracle, do they not? That's why we have to go to God. See, when I was first born again, I just knew God could, and whatever his word said, I just knew it was going to happen. That every pastor around this area told me I was crazy, that the word wasn't for today, and that what I was doing was not of God. I didn't let that deter me, but I'm telling you, this is what people do. They will do and say anything to keep you from walking in the miracle-working power of God. We must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. It is not the manifestations. It is not the great power you possess. It is not your great abilities. It is becoming like a little child and using the gifts of heaven in your life. Come on. You may ask, how do we operate in the supernatural flow of God? If you study the Bible, you will learn that from Genesis to Revelation, there is a common flow through all the prophets, apostles, and men of God. They all went towards God from the same direction, through prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting. And when I first started, I fasted all the time. I had the church fasting all the time. And we just saw one miracle after another. So we need to go back to prayer and fasting. Fasting is where the answer is at right now. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led by who? The Spirit. Why? To be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. It says Jesus hungered. Didn't say he thirsted. It said he hungered. And Isaiah 58:6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy? Well, let's go back to Matthew 4. When I first got born again, God had me fast 40 days right off the, and I never heard about fasting. 40 days, nothing but water. And then I, 2 days, you know, I drank something, then he called me back to another 40-day fast. So I did 2 40-day fasts back to back when I first was born again, and from that point on, miracles worked. Are you understanding this? Jesus was just baptized, and the first thing he did was had to go and fast. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall break forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as a noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repair of the breach, the restore of the streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure in my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then, in other words, you have to give God his day. If you do that, then 14 says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, there's conditions to this miracle walk that you want to walk. We need to understand that the only thing that is important at this given time is to see the supernatural flow of God at work. God is teaching us today because he wants to make this church a place once again where miracles flow. And he wants each one of you, as you go out in the highways and the byways, to do whatever God's calling you to do, to be a conduit for him, for his miracles to work through. It does not matter that your flesh is crying out for food. What matters is that there is a need that must be met in another soul's life. And we are the conduit between them and God. They need the fire of heaven on them. They need zeal in them. They need compassion. We as born-again believers have that in us, and for us not to get it to them is sin. You see this? Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It says all things, whatever things you ask. So this is the reason why we're not getting all of our answers to our prayers, is because we are not lining up with the conditions that God has laid out before us. Before this will work for you, you must come out of immature and lustful thinking. You need to grow up. You must think for the kingdom of God. Philippians 2:9-11 says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have power in the name of Jesus, if we've met all the conditions. Matthew 10:1-7-8. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And he said in verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. As you do what? As you go. It's not as you sit in this church and take over. It's as you go. Are you listening to this? God told me 2 nights ago that this church, there's compromise in this church, and it's destroying the church. So this goes right along with this teaching. You're compromising your walk with God, and you're not going to walk in the signs, wonders, and miracles that you're wanting to walk in because you're compromising that you're doing. What are you going to do when you get there? All right, I said, as you do what? As you go. So what are you going to do as you get there? Number one, you're going to preach. What are you going to preach? The kingdom of God is near. Repentance. And after you're completely in the will of God, what are you going to do next? You're going to heal. After you heal the sick, what else are you going to look for? You're going to cleanse the leper. You're going to raise the dead. After you raise the dead or cleanse lepers, what are you going to do? You're going to cast out demons. Why? Freely you have received, now give it to others. Let's get back over that. Let's get back to where as you go, as you do what? You go, all right? What are you going to do when you get there? You're going to preach. What are you going to preach? The kingdom of God is near. And after you're completely in the will of God, what are you going to do next? You know, after you're completely in the will of God, what are you going to do next? You're going to heal. After you heal the sick, what else are you going to look for? Cleanse the leper and raise the dead. After you raise the dead, you know, the lepers right now are people with AIDS and things like that. You know, if we would just get ourselves right with God, these people could be healed. They wouldn't have to be taking medication, look for somebody to get a, come up with a new drug. The power of God could heal them as you walked even by them. After you raise the dead or cleanse the leper, what are you going to do? Cast out demons. Why? Freely you have received, now give it to others. Matthew 10:27 says, whatever I tell you in the dark, this is Jesus speaking, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't worry about what the devil's going to say is what that scripture's saying. You worry about what God can do to you. You go forth and you do the things that God's telling you to do. But first of all, get yourself right. We are to speak only what we hear. We speak too much of what we want to say. Speak only what we hear. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to turn our backs and run. We are going to stand. And we are going to keep standing, just like we are commanded to do, in the full armor of God. Don't go with a lopsided, out-of-balance message. Don't go with only the helmet of salvation. Don't go with only the shield of faith. You will be destroyed if you do these things, those things. You take the time to clothe yourself in the armor of God. Then you confront your enemy, the enemy of God, and you do not back off from him. God's always told me that the church is not well balanced. It's off balance, and that's why you don't see things happening the way the Word of God says it should happen. We are off balance. We have tunnel vision. We only see one thing. We don't see the whole picture. We don't walk in the whole picture. We just take one thing and run with that one thing. You have to put it all together, saints, in order for it to work right. Mark 3:1. And he entered the synagogue again, and this is Jesus, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then Jesus said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, how did Jesus look with them? With anger, all right? Being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, being grieved by the hardness. How many of you get grieved watching somebody that had their hearts are hardened? He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. You know, when Jimmy was first born, he had a really bad leg. The way he laid in his mother's womb, his heel and everything was all messed up. And so the doctor said he will always wear a cast from his waist down, always. So she brought him home with a cast on. And she told me what he said. I said, no, he won't either. I took him in the bathtub. So she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm soaking this cast off. This child's leg is healed right now in the name of Jesus. Soaked the cast off. And she said, what am I going to tell the doctor when I go back? I said, I don't care what you tell him, you crazy mother. Soaked the cast off. I don't care what you tell him. And so whenever she had to go back, he went in there. He said, his leg's healed. He never said anything about the cast. He was so shocked that his leg was straightened out. That was just pure, simple, childlike faith. Because God's word told me I could do that, I did it. Are you listening? Now I don't know where I'm at. Mark 3:10. For Jesus healed many so that as many as had afflictions pressed out about him to touch him. He just didn't heal one or two. He healed anybody that was around him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. I don't see one of us walking in front of somebody that has spirits in them over there crying out. You know, they're probably sitting there like, hee, 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 I'm in here. They don't know I'm in here. But to see these spirits when he walked in front of Jesus, they knew that he knew that they were in there. Are you listening? You might be able to say, well, I see they got a demon. Well, why isn't it jumping out of them then if you have some? You might be able to see if you don't have any power to get them free. Come on, well-rounded. You might see, but you have the power for that thing to jump out because you're standing in front of them. All right, and the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. In other words, Jesus said to the devils, don't you dare tell anybody who I am. See that? And he wept on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. One time we was doing deliverance here, and that devil said, I don't know anything about you, but I know about your mother. I said, shut up. Don't you say another word about my mother. And it had to shut up. Are you listening? Do you have the power and authority to tell the devil to shut up when he's trying to tell on somebody? This is serious, guys. You want to want all, oh, I want to go with the glory. I want to signs, wonders, and miracles. But are you really where you should be at? He went up on a mountain and called to him those he wanted. Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those he wanted. Now, I questioned you. I'm telling you. Now, you are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Just because God's promised you you're going to do this, this, and this, and this, doesn't mean you're going to make it there. Many are called, but few are chosen. Once you're called, then you have to work at getting to the place that God wants you to be, so then he chooses you. Are you listening here? Just because you have reverend in front of your name doesn't mean you're going to go out to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. God put reverend in front of your name. Now you have to stand up to that name. You have to walk in holiness and purity of heart. I don't care if it's reverend, evangelist, whatever it is, deacon. Now you have to walk worthy of that title. All right. The second part of this verse says, and they came unto him. He has called us unto him. You have to come to him if you want to be chosen. Mark 3:14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. This was Jesus again. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. See, Jesus knew he couldn't be everywhere at all times. So he appointed 12 so that they could go and do the same things that he was doing. And see, the body of Christ, we don't even fulfill that scripture because we're too busy wanting to be the only one to do anything. Come on, we want to be known and seen. And don't want anybody else to have any power or authority. And that's not godly. That's why Catherine Kuhlman died. Because she was mad at God because he gave other people the same anointing she had. It's in her book. Amen. Same thing goes on in the church today. You want to be glorified. You say, I lift Jesus up. No, you don't. You're lifting your own self up because you always want to be glorified. All right, verse 15 says that to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. That's what he wanted his disciples to do. So in Mark 3:14, the second thing that is very valuable here is that they were sent. Once you're called and chosen, then you're sent. You just don't sit and vegetate. You have started a journey with Jesus. The Bible says he ordained them and appointed them. That has happened to your life already. That is why you feel compelled and drawn and sent and pushed out. You have been ordained by heaven to go be sent, to go forth and do a great and mighty works. Barbara Alsop is compelled to do this Women's Aglow thing. And she lives, eats, and breathes it. See, she's compelled to do this thing. God is sending her forth. She's a woman that he wanted to use in this area to bring that forth here. Now, she could lose that if she didn't continue to seek God's face and to do what he's calling her forth to do. She could lose that position. You know, God said, I can build you up and I can tear you down. All right? What were they ordained to do first? Mark 3:14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. First of all, you have to spend quality time with Jesus. They were ordained to be with him. The first thing you heard, the call of Jesus. Second thing, you responded. The third and most important thing, you must spend time with Jesus. It says in the next verse, after they spent time with Jesus, then he sent them out to preach. Preaching is not the first. Preaching is the second. You are valuable and you are important to the world, but you're useless without the presence of Jesus. Come on. I know when I go out and road, I spend hours studying the Bible and getting a message together, and I go to the church and the message never even gets said because God just starts to move me and sends me out down there among the people, and he just starts ministering to the people. Now see, if I wasn't following everything God told me to do, he couldn't use me that way. Amen. After you spend time with Jesus, then he will send you to preach. Mark 3:15, to have power, authority, and to heal sickness. He just doesn't send you out there just to preach, but you're supposed to have power and authority to heal sicknesses. And the fourth thing is to cast out devils. Remember, that is not the first thing. That is the last thing, casting out devils. And I got to thinking about this as I read this scripture. Really, truly, you know, they have to be come in and get saved and get yourself together. Because if you cast out devils to somebody that's not saved, they'll just go back out there and get bound up all over again. They have to have something to hold on to so that they don't get repossessed. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask you to do things that nobody else has ever done. Now, you know, probably read the article about the bunch of people that were doing deliverance, and they threw that one woman in the fire to cast the devils out of her and burn her alive. Now, that wasn't God telling them to do that. That was something nobody's ever done. That was not God. That was the devil. So let's get your mind straight here. I mean, God doesn't ask you to do stupid things. He really doesn't. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask us to do things that nobody else has ever done. We might be asked to go places and to fight with warlocks, principalities, and religious demon spirits. When God asks you to do these things, always remember that these things need to be bathed with prayer, standing in the presence of God, and fasting. The deliverance team should always be in a fasting mode. They should always be in the presence of God. And as you do that, then the devils are just going to jump out. You won't have to spend hours. We used to do 5 people a night here. And when they left, they was totally set free. They didn't leave. They've come back here in a week because we got to get more. And when they left, they were totally free. Are you listening? We need the fire of God. We need to thank Jesus for the blood that he shed. His blood was pure and not sinful. His blood makes us clean and gives us relationship with God. His blood is perfect. God told me one time, never forget the blood. The blood is important, saints of God, whenever you're trying to do anything for the Father. This morning, I would like you to let your spirit soar on wings of eagles. Allow the presence of God to consume you. Allow the great river of life flow through this house. Allow the great wind of God to blow in this house. And I'm talking about your house, all right? Allow the great fire of God to burn us, change us, and consume us. If you're going to walk in the supernatural, if you're going to walk in everything that God's asked you to walk in, then you need to ask God to burn you, change you, and consume you. You need to be totally, completely changed from the inside out. There's too much on the outside that is pretense. You need to be changed from the inside out. Too many people are standing around pretending to be something they are not. And you're out there trying to get God. You know, you ought to feel really bad if you're still in a sin and somebody comes into the house of God and needs a miracle and it isn't performed because you're in sin. It's just that simple. Jesus made it a practice to always stay in the presence of his Father. And don't give me this theology. While he was Jesus, well, he was still a human being at that point in his life. He always made it a practice to be in the presence of the Father. He always made it a practice to fast and to pray continually. Why? So that the signs, wonders, and miracles could flow through him. If he didn't follow those guidelines, but I can tell you right now, the signs, wonders, and miracles would not have flowed through him. We're supposed to be just like Jesus, and we are not, saints. God told me we are not just like Jesus. He's trying to line us up to be like him so that the great signs, wonders, and miracles will flow. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were so in tune to God that when you walked into a hospital room to visit somebody, every room you went by, the people got healed? Just because your shadow went into their room? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were so filled with God and doing everything God told you to do that everybody in your home would be healed? Just because you were so full of God, no matter where they were at in their walk with God, they would be healed. This is where God's trying to take us. Are we all going to go there? See, this morning you have to make that quality decision. Either you want to go there or you don't want to go there. It doesn't matter to God, because he'll always have somebody that will go there. So the altar is open this morning. If you really want to flow in the supernatural, then you need to repent and you need to let God touch you with that fire of his. You need to let that fire consume everything that's on the inside of you that's not of God.